Let's continue in our talks from Nehemiah, looking at Nehemiah chapter 10, beginning at verse 32. Here in the second half of Nehemiah 10, we have the people of Judah promising to support the house of God. Nehemiah 10, verse 32. Also, we made ordinances for ourselves to exact from ourselves yearly 1/3 of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread, for the regular grain offering, for the regular burnt offering of the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the set feasts, for the holy things, for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and all the work of the house of our God. We cast lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for bringing the wood offering into the house of our God, according to our fathers' houses, at the appointed times, year by year, to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. And we made ordinances to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all trees year by year to the house of the Lord, to bring the firstborn of our sons and our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and our flocks to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God, to bring the first fruits of our dough, our offerings, the fruit from all kinds of trees, the new wine and oil to the priests, to the storerooms of the house of our God, and to bring the tithes of our land to the Levites, for the Levites should receive the tithes in all our farming communities. And the priest, the descendant of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive tithes. And the Levites shall bring up a tenth of the tithes to the house of our God, to the rooms of the storehouse. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the grain, of the new wine, and the oil to the storerooms where the articles of the sanctuary are, where the priests who minister and the gatekeepers and the singers are. And we will not neglect the house of our God. Some background notes to help us understand this section of Nehemiah chapter 10. In chapters 7 through 10 of Nehemiah, we read of one of the great revivals of the Old Testament period. It was near the close of the Old Testament period in about the year 445 BC. The Jews who had returned from the Babylonian captivity had just completed the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. This wall, as we've seen, had been in ruins for almost a century and a half, ever since the Babylonians had conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. The rebuilding of the wall was a great accomplishment. Everyone got involved, and under Nehemiah's godly leadership, the job was completed in 52 days. The completion of the wall sparked the revival among God's people. And we've seen that this revival was centered around an emphasis on God's word and prayer. The same is true today. Revival of God's people will always be focused on God's word and on prayer. Now here in chapter 10, we see the people committing themselves in writing to the laws of God. They are so determined to follow the Lord that they compose and sign what we would call a commitment contract. We've seen that this contract, this document, had to do with three areas of commitment. We've called these focal points of commitment, because they are critical areas of commitment. If you fail in one of these focal points of commitment, the failure ripples out and it begins to affect all kinds of other areas. We've seen in the first half of Nehemiah chapter 10, two of these focal points of commitment and how they apply to us. Remember, there was the commitment not to intermarry with the pagans there in verse 30. They would only marry believers. We've seen how that applies to us. Then there was the matter of the commitment to keeping the Sabbath there in verse 31. And we saw that applies to us as well. This matter of giving time to honor God. Now in the second half of Nehemiah chapter 10, we see the third focal point of commitment. It's the matter of the house of the Lord. They are determined to support the house of the Lord and all the work associated with the temple. It's very significant, I think, to see that every verse from verse 32 right on through the end of the chapter, verse 39, every one of those verses mentions the house of the Lord or the house of our God. In verses 32 and 33, they promise that they will give money to take care of all the temple costs. In verse 34, they promise to provide wood for all of the sacrifices. In verses 35 through 37, they promise to bring the first fruits of the harvest and the firstborn of the flocks and herds, according to the law. In verses 37 through 39, they promise to bring the tithes in support of the Levites. Now note what they say at the end of verse 39, right at the end of the chapter. And we will not neglect the house of our God. Very committed. Now that brings us to our doctrinal points or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, God's people have a responsibility to support God's work. God's people have a responsibility to support God's work. Support for the house of the Lord in that day was exactly that. Support of the temple really was support for the work of the Lord. God doesn't need his people to support his work. He really could have angels do all the work, and he could have money grow on trees for his work. But he's chosen to do his work through his people and by the support of his people. Now, we not only have a great privilege to support the work of the Lord, we have a responsibility. God's people have a responsibility to support God's work with our money, with our time, and with our talent. God's people have a responsibility to support God's work. Now, are you one of God's people? Are you doing more than just attending church? You really do have a responsibility to support God's work. God's people have a responsibility to support God's work. Second doctrinal point, tithing is not unbiblical. Tithing is not unbiblical. We see they commit themselves here to support the work of the house of their God, the house of God, the temple, with their tithes, to support the workers there, the Levites. Now, when we talk about support for the Lord's work, invariably we do get into this matter of tithing. Is tithing for the Christian today? Some would say, well, wasn't that part of the law? Aren't we free from the law? Wasn't that Old Testament? Well, let's put it this way. Tithing is not unbiblical. That's the way we're putting our doctrinal point. Okay, a double negative or what? Tithing is not unbiblical. Now, it's true that the Christian is not under some law that he must tithe as they were under the law to tithe in the Old Testament. When you come to the New Testament, tithing is not mentioned as a law for Christians. In the great giving chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, tithing is not mentioned, not mentioned once, even though those are the great giving chapters in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, we read, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. But there's no mention of tithing. However, we still can say tithing is not unbiblical because if a Christian is not at least tithing, something really is wrong for two reasons. One, tithing goes before the law. Tithing didn't come in with the Mosaic law. Tithing goes before the law. It's a biblical principle. You remember Abraham gave tithes to the king priest Melchizedek. That was long before the law. So tithing goes before the law. It's a biblical principle. A second reason is in the New Testament, we find that as Christians, we should give 100%. We are stewards of all that we have. 100% of our time, 100% of our talent, 100% of our treasure or our money. We're responsible. We're stewards before God, responsible before God for 100%. Now, that doesn't mean when you get down to the pencil and check writing stage that you need to write out checks for all of your money to the local church or the Lord's work in some way, but it does mean you're responsible for all of your money before the Lord, how it is used, how it is spent. So we can come back then to this point that if a Christian, when you get down to the pen and check writing stage, if a Christian is not giving at least 10%, since we're stewards of 100%, if we're not at least giving 10%, then maybe some serious questions should be asked. We should ask ourselves some serious questions. You know, am I giving as a responsible steward to the Lord? Are we at least tithing? Or do we only talk about support of the Lord's work? You know, this is really where the rubber meets the road, right? When your wallet is involved. Notice, everyone is involved. Verse 38, not only are the tithes, you see the tithes in the Old Testament were for the support of the Levites, but notice in verse 38, the Levites had to give a tithe of the tithe. So everyone's involved. Even the Lord's servants are involved. Everyone is involved in this matter of tithing. Tithing is not unbiblical. The teaching of the Bible is that if a Christian is not at least tithing, then some serious questions should be asked. Let's go to practical application. Practical application number one. I mean, we've been pretty practical already, but let's take some more. Are you willing to chop wood? Practical application number one. Are you willing to chop wood? Are you willing to chop wood? Where does that come from? Well, look at verse 34. We read there that they cast lots among themselves, the priests, the Levites, the people, for bringing wood. Now, chopping wood was not the most glamorous job connected with the house of the Lord, but it was necessary. The sacrifices consumed a lot of wood. And we read in Leviticus 6 that the fire on the altar was never to go out. And there was a continual burnt offering every day, but the fire was never to go out. Did you ever try to chop a supply of wood to keep a campfire going all the time or keep a fireplace going all the time? It's a lot of wood. There were some more exciting jobs and more upfront jobs than chopping wood, but chopping wood here was very important, very necessary. And so we see here in verse 34, the priests, the Levites, the people were willing to do that job, willing to do the mundane job of chopping wood. Are you willing to chop wood? There's a lot of mundane, unexciting, unglamorous jobs to do in the Lord's work. Are you willing? Are you willing to chop wood? I remember learning this lesson early in my Christian life. As a teenager, I went to a Christian family camp to work on staff. Now, I thought my worst job would be washing pots in the kitchen. Was I in for a surprise? I ended up doing jobs like cleaning the johns, including cleaning out the clogged sewer lines leading to the septic tank and so forth. And this was all part of the ministry, part of serving the Lord. This is the chopping wood side of the ministry. Are you willing to chop wood? Second practical application. Let's make it again a question. Are you willing to give your first and your best to the Lord? Are you willing to give your first and your best to the Lord? In verse 35, we see the people promise to bring their first fruits. That was the first of the harvest to the Lord. In verses 36 and 37, we see the people promise to give the firstborn of their flocks and herds and dedicate their firstborn sons to the Lord. This was considered the first and the best. After all, there might not be much of a harvest. After all, there might not be any more flocks or might not be any more children. So giving your firstborn, the first fruits, was considered the first and the best. Are we willing to give the first and the best to the Lord? Now, you could apply this in a lot of ways. We could apply this in so many ways. Certainly, it has to do with our priorities. But let's apply it to life itself. Are you willing to give the first and the best part of your life to the Lord? One more time. Are you willing to give the first and the best part of your life to the Lord? You know, some Christians say, well, when I get older and retire, then I'm going to study the Bible more and serve the Lord more. What about now? Give your first and best to the Lord. This does not mean you have to quit your secular job, but what are you doing with your extra time? What are you doing with your energies? Where are your energies being directed? Give your first and your best to God. Don't end up in old age regretting that you squandered a lot of your time and energies. It's too late then. Give your first and your best to God.